Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, breathe it in. It's Friday. Thank God you're probably telling yourself, well, you know what? We're going to make the next 2 hours fly by. Great show planned for you. Thank you for being here. Bill Ryder with you. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. We got a fun show planned today. Good show. Meaningful show. We're going to say goodbye to Thomas, producer underscore Tom DiBenedetto. DiBenebye-bye. Leaving us, and we've got a little bit of an announcement about what's next for him. It's very exciting. We'll do that in about 20 minutes. Our goodbye Tom show. We'll talk about Donovan Mitchell's greatness. Maybe I'm just feeling nostalgic sitting here in L.A., but I was seeing flashes of Kobe Bryant meets Dwayne Wade yesterday, especially in that first half, where Donovan Mitchell, again, outdueled Kawhi Leonard. We'll talk that later in the show. A lot going on in the world of baseball. A new cheating scandal. Players, again, being faced with uncomfortable questions that make them squirm. And we'll get with Jerry Harrison Jr., our buddy, longtime major leaguer, was on that YouTube baseball game broadcast yesterday. We'll do that an hour from now. We'll give you some picks. Atlanta plus one against Philly. Denver 1.5-point favorites at home versus Phoenix. I love one of those games, one of those lines. I'm going to avoid the other. We'll talk that next hour. We'll do buy or sell with Tom, and we'll get to bum of the week. I'd like right now here on the show, and if you want to give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. I'd like to come on right now and tell you how right I was yesterday not to give up on Milwaukee. How my lukewarm endorsement of the Bucks, my, well, I've come this far, hot take, was some kind of sagacious wisdom. Nostra Ryder. Bill Ryder, the sports psychic, which, by the way, I've been trying to book a sports psychic on this show for 5 years. Never gotten a producer to agree to it. Maybe the next one will. I don't know. Not sure. Maybe. I'd like to tell you that Bucks victory by a single possession, keeping the Nets in the 80s points-wise over the course of four quarters, that Giannis having, what, 30-some points, and suddenly the momentum shifting is a sign that I was right, Milwaukee's legit, watch out Brooklyn. But that's not what happened. That's not the truth of the game. The truth of that ugly, awful basketball game is that both of those teams played scared. And neither, at least for that contest, on that night in Milwaukee, looked like championship contenders. Neither did. That is 48 minutes of defining that someone has to win these games. I got it. You are what your record says you are. Thank you, Bill Parcells, for your infinite wisdom and the quotes that come down from the ages. And that means the Bucks are only down 2-1 in this series, and that the old adage that we brought up every day, and that Chuck brought up on TNT the other day, and that Shaq brought up the other day, and that everybody talks about, that a series doesn't begin till a home team loses, is still alive. But what's not alive is the heart of either of these teams. Certainly not Milwaukee. That fourth quarter was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. We've watched some games get out of hand. We've watched Phoenix destroy some fools. We've watched Utah destroy some fools. We've seen Atlanta get up big in contests we didn't expect. We've seen Philly make sure they won at least one of their two games with an incredible performance from Joel Embiid. And a lot of times, the scores have reflected an ugly contest. But if you actually watch the games, you know there was individual excellence or team excellence. In the face of these pressure pack moments, in an NBA playoffs, and I think this is exciting, that feels so much more riveting, at least to me, than in years past, because it feels wide open. There is no LeBron. There are no Warriors left to take you down. It's hard to have any confidence in the Clippers, and therefore Kawhi Leonard's excellence in the postseason feels muted, blunted at best. All of these pressure pack moments, these fourth quarters, these big games, are significant. I don't have to close my eyes and pretend to think that there's a reasonable case that the Phoenix Suns can be NBA champions, or the Utah Jazz can be NBA champions, or the Milwaukee Bucks before this series can be NBA champions. You name a team that's left outside of maybe, and I think maybe is the key word, Atlanta, and there's a reasonable case they can win the whole thing. And just to introduce some of the ugliness that's been a part of the open-ended nature of this postseason, the injury reality that I told you was going to happen 6 weeks ago, because I got told by a GM that I trust, and a bunch of executives said, yeah, man, ticking time bombs everywhere. Donovan McNabb grimacing, falling down, knocked down by Paul George, is just a reminder the injuries probably aren't over. And even the teams that feel dominant, Brooklyn Nets, could find themselves in trouble with a little bit of bad luck or one of those time bombs going off. And that makes these fourth quarters significant. The pressure, even in a semifinal or a first round when we were there, matters because there's more at stake. You're not, like we have in years past, playing for the right to get slaughtered by LeBron of the Warriors. Not the Boston Celtics from a couple years ago, right? Oh, what a great fight they put up. They're done. Or the Raptors before Kawhi showed up. The same thing at LeBron's hands. I can go down the list. And in that reality, where there's so much more than a single game and a single series probably for the taking in these fourth quarters, both the Bucks and the Nets showed a kind of weakness and frailty that I think is significant. Look, I don't know if that's a one-off for Brooklyn or the reality when they get punched in the face. And even though he's not here today, I'm gonna quote Andrew Bogish, who texted me and said, wow, you called it. One of these games were coming for Kevin Durant and Brooklyn. They weren't very good. Now, Durant was excellent down the stretch. The one guy down the stretch who played well in that fourth quarter. Salvage what was a terrible game for him. Dude was 5-9. I think he scored 11 of his points in the fourth. But that's overshadowed, and this is a Steve Nash problem. I like Steve Nash. Steve Nash, as you might know if you listen to the show, was my neighbor. Name drop alert here. My son yesterday was like, I know that guy. My wife said, that's because you said he should do something anatomically impossible to himself. It's a little misunderstanding between my 8-year-old and the Hall of Famer. But the end of that game went KD 3 in a row, Joe Harris miss, that perennial Hall of Fame to be Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown miss. You know what we need more of? We need more Bruce Brown. Again a miss, and then KD missed at the end. If Bruce Brown isn't taking shots, isn't thinking he's Kyrie Irving at the end, you might still have had a Nets win despite that terrible performance. Now, I'll say this. I'm gonna say this, but I'm going to put it aside for later series, unless the Bucks get their freaking act together. The way the Nets played in one game where things didn't go well, the panic, the inability for Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant to get shots off at the end, the inefficiency, the turnovers, a team, you know what they look like? It's like the classic movie scene where there's some bully and he beats the crap out of the weak kids. And then, you know, whether the weak kid gets tough or it's Cobra Kai learns karate or it's one of these 4 million superhero movies, gets superpowers. When the bully starts to get challenged, bully just melts, right? I hate myself on the inside. That's what the Nets look like to me. Only they weren't playing some kid who found his strength. They're playing a weakling who just got lucky and stumbled into a knockout shot, at least in that game. Because as much as the Bucks needed that win, as great as it was to see Giannis put up some big numbers, as much at times that Chris Middleton played well, the final conclusion is that Milwaukee did not deserve to win that game. And Milwaukee fans, I'm not saying this as some hater. If I'm a hater of any team, it's the Brooklyn Nets. If my emotions and my desires override my common sense, it's with Brooklyn. I did bet on Brooklyn to cover yesterday. That was a real awkward experience, rooting for the Nets. But I'm not a Nets fan. I literally had a dream last night. I don't know what this means. It's very weird. I got a neighbor named Ian who, in his spare time, is like a professional bicycle dude. I know it's not the right term. Cyclist, the word I'm looking for. Like on the side, he just rides to the mountains from Manhattan Beach all the time. It's obnoxious, the kind of shape the guy's in for a 50-year-old. And he got some interview with KD in my dream, James Harden and Kyrie, and they were funny and charming and cool, and I was like, oh my gosh, these guys are great. Then they realized that I'd come along with Ian, and the mood turned very dark very quickly. And Ian turned to me and said, what the bleep did you do to these guys? And then I woke up in a pretty good mood. I'm not a Nets fan. I don't like the Nets. I want the Nets to lose. It doesn't change the reality that Milwaukee played like hot garbage. They barely won that game, and that win feels accidental. They went 7 of 26. They entered the fourth quarter up 2. They went 7 of 26. They were 1 of 8 from the three-point line. They were awful. So I said this to you yesterday, that it was important that Milwaukee, you know, won, obviously, because they needed the win, but more importantly, they just needed to play well for their confidence, for their swagger, for a sense of who they can be, and they did not do that. They did not play good basketball. They look like they don't belong, even in the win. I don't think, against a team they don't fear, that the Brooklyn Nets are going to have a lot of nights where Kevin Durant goes 11 of 28, where Kyrie Irving goes 9 of 22, where they shoot 25% from 3. They ain't going to continue. They're not going to shoot 36% from the field in most of the games against the teams they don't fear. The Nets haven't been challenged, and they weren't really challenged last night, not in a significant way. Remember, Milwaukee also got up early in a big way and couldn't hold on to that. But that happens. That happened in the Philly game. Atlanta came back, but then Philly pulled away again. I want to see the Nets in a series, and maybe it's Utah if Donovan Mitchell can stay healthy. The Suns, I think, are a really bad matchup for Brooklyn. But I was thinking about Phoenix last night. You know what doesn't happen in a fourth quarter of a game where the Nets start to doubt themselves and play like that? Which I've seen from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving many, many times. You're not going to have a Suns team that misses that knockout shot. Chris Paul's going to hit jumpers. Devin Booker's going to hit shots. DeAndre Ayton, as you have to get up on both those guys, is going to roll to the rim and get easy buckets. Phoenix can close. We've seen it. Utah can close. We've seen it. Philly can absolutely close if Joel Embiid is healthy, because I've seen in him the reason I put him number 2 on my MVP ballot. And even though I think it'll be inconsistent, Trae Young can close at times. The DeAndre Hunter injury is an issue. So here's the takeaway from yesterday's game. There is no, aha, I was right, from anybody. Because all that yesterday showed us is that both those teams are absolutely beatable. And in a situation where they play badly and they struggle and they can't run their offense, and they have the kind of comical turnovers you reserve for Space Jam 2, which, by the way, again, I'm not anti-LeBron. I like LeBron. I'm sitting here talking to you. I make a very nice living. I have a life that is well beyond my wildest dreams because I cover LeBron. That movie looks terrible. That movie looks so bad. This ain't that, where you bump into each other and you fall down and there's a turnover. I was honestly waiting for Bugs Bunny at some point to pick up the ball when Middleton ran into Giannis. Here's the ball, Doc. Is that what he said? It's so dumb. Bugs Bunny's so 20 years ago. Although, to be fair, my kid had 2 comments during the game. 3 comments. Is it okay that I root for the Clippers? No, it's not. And he did anyway. It's not okay in my house. Is that the guy that I said that one thing to? Yeah, it's one way to put it. That Steve Nash is the guy that you said that one thing to, and can I watch Space Jam? No, you can't. It's sort of what I coughed into the. It wasn't a microphone. My life feels like a microphone in the living room. The Nets are susceptible. And we'll see whether someone can challenge them. And yeah, blah, blah, it could be one off game. It's not about an off game. I've covered enough hoops to know this. Let me leave it here. I've covered enough hoops to know this. You're going to have bad games. You're going to have off nights, shooting-wise. What is required, what is necessary, if you want to be an NBA champion and an all-time great, is to be able to win on the nights where your team plays badly and to close on the nights where you didn't play well up to that point. Box scores can be deceiving. The Nets failed at the first thing, and Kevin Durant, it's hard to assess, right? Really good fourth quarter. Really good fourth quarter. Didn't demand or get the ball. three of the last four possessions, and on the last shot was not successful. The Nets are beatable. They're still probably the favorite. I think it's probably. I don't think they've been tested in a real way. But this idea, this notion that they are by far the sure thing, that they're going to win an NBA championship. Let me just tell you this. I have a lot of friends who work in the NBA. I have a lot of sources in the NBA. And one of the keys to reporting on the NBA, if you're an expert like I am, is to convince the people you talk to that they're the expert and to make sure they tell you what they actually think. This isn't an exercise in showing them how smart you are. It's the opposite. It's an exercise in showing them how much you want to listen to their intellect. And they are smart. But the overwhelming majority of experts, like I mean people who get paid to work in the NBA, who have said and have said to me, and I think have pushed this narrative, the Nets are a sure thing, were just as confident that the Nets were going to beat the Lakers in 6 or 7. That it was done. Those are the two teams that were going to make it. The Nets are beatable, and you saw it last night. I'm just not sure the Bucks are the team to do it. I'm not convinced just because it's 2-1 that I was suddenly right about that Milwaukee team. Play with some heart. Play with some guts. Play with some cojones. Stop playing scared. Close out fourth quarters. Or it's all over but the shouting. Ugly game. And I don't think it's a real takeaway. Not for me, not yet. 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call. Tom DiBenedetto is the executive producer of the show. He's been doing that since we came back. The program came back from nights and moved to this time slot, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on the East Coast, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. out West here in L.A. And he's got an amazing opportunity. I'm very excited to tell you about it. He's leaving the show, and he's going to bigger and better things here at the company. We'll tell you about Tom's next move and what it means for the program next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. Sam Rubinoff is ably manning the board in New York. And as you can hear, dude knows his music. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Ain't no love in the heart of the show. Tom DiBenedetto pulls the exit cord. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really happy for him. We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it in just a minute. I do want to tell you that tomorrow, your weekend on CBS, brand new racing series pulls into primetime with some of the best drivers in the world from all different disciplines, including Tony Stewart, 2021 Indy 500 winner Helio Castroneves, compete against each other using identical cars to prove they're the best on the track. Welcome to Superstar Saturday Night, the premiere of the SRX series tomorrow night. That's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on CBS. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Chicago. Let's talk some Cubbies. Alan, what's up, buddy? Happy Friday. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate it, Bill. Give me your take on today. Wrigley Field, 1:20 p.m. Central, full capacity for the first time. Cubs, Cardinals, John Vincent singing the national anthem. Bill Murray doing the seventh inning stretch. It's going to be electric.
Could not be more excited. Especially Alan, kind of knew that full capacity was coming right at Wrigley. Didn't know it was going to be coming to a baseball team that actually is good at baseball. Take that, Theo. No, I love you too, Theo. It's like Theo and Tom. You guys can leave, but you'll always still have a special place in our hearts. I hope everybody's vaccinated. I'll just say that, right? Like, I'm vaccinated. I'm all about going out in the world. Although, little warning. I'm so glad to take that mask off, and now I'm thinking about wearing it more because I got a sinus infection for the first time in 15 months. And something I forgot, being sick is miserable. It's miserable. All right. Tom DiBenedetto. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Bill. You just gave me the kindest comp of my life.
To Theo?
Yeah, it'll never get better than this moment right now, so thank you.
Well, you know, when he went from the Red Sox to the Cubs, he went from a good place to a great place.
There you go.
And you're doing the exact same thing. I think I'm the first to announce this, right?
Yes.
Tom is joining Circus de Olay. And, no, I'm just kidding. He's joining the Jim Rome Show, which is incredibly exciting. And you know, and just an incredible collection of guys there. Garrett, a Hawk, obviously the executive producer, Alvin, a guy named Jim Rome's pretty good. And it's amazing to me, Tom, because you and I are friends. You've been a great producer. And I've talked about this on the air. Jim Rome literally changed my life. Jeff Goodman called me yesterday from Stadium, the guy that broke the Coach K, his retiring news, just to shoot the breeze. And we got to talking about our careers and how much we both had some opportunities and some successes that we didn't anticipate. and how it began with Jim. And so I fill in for Jim now. In fact, I'm filling in a couple weeks. It'll be cool to be there when you're working on the show.
You so it's see a, me.
All roads lead through Jim Rome. And you live in L.A. now. I couldn't tell that for the last 2 weeks, but I felt like kind of hinted at it.
Yes. We've had a lot in common from the beginning. Now you can add one more thing. Hopefully, things go great with Jim, but I'm so excited for this. This is an incredible thing. I couldn't honestly even believe that they were taking me seriously as a candidate. It's a dream come true on so many levels. And honestly, I've been contributing in weird, indirect ways to that show for almost 8 years now. So I've been dreaming about something like this for a very long time.
It is an amazing thing. And in the radio business, it's a really big deal, as you would imagine, to get hired into that world. It is a very exclusive club of people who get to work on the show. As you would imagine, you know, if you're one of the best at what you've done all time, you're fairly discerning in who you hire. So it's really exciting. And this has upended your whole life. I know you wanted to live in L.A., but now be careful what you wish for. Goodbye, New York City.
Yes. And also in a weird way, you know, goodbye to the idea of L.A. that I thought I might be landing into. This is a very different situation, but no complaints at all. And I'm landing in smack off season two, which is a whole other intensity level. But I'm so excited to kind of see the 2 weeks leading off to the smack off and then experience the smack off. So all of this is kind of mind blowing.
So here's a question I have for you. Can you help me produce the show? This last show you're going to produce. I need you to stay focused on me for a second. Should you be nominated for Bum of the Week for leaving, or is that unfair? Is it such an I'm really torn here.
I mean, come on. I know you well enough to have anticipated that I would be the Bum of the Week, let alone nominated.
Oh, you think you should be nominated?
I'm not. Of course, I'm a nominee.
You're pushing that. I'm not even.
Of course.
This will be your call later.
I'm abandoning the ship. I mean,
Tom DeBenedetto.
Yeah, DeBenedetto. DeBenedetto, whatever you prefer. Yes.
DeBenedetto sounds like Go-Go Gadget.
Yeah.
Which
or Go-Go Dancing. That's my only issue with that.
That's your issue?
Yeah, that's
it's the
issue.
Go-go dancing part? Yeah, dude. I mean, you know this, right? Because I filled in. Hawk's great. Ritz great. Alvin's great. Have you decided? Because office politics matter, right? They're significant everywhere. Have you decided how you want to traverse the chocolate wars? Where you come down on Garrett Ritt drinking just copious amounts of hot chocolate as a grown man?
I mean, honestly, I'd rather not touch that one.
Right?
But I'm sure it will, you know, it's going to be a big part of my life. I'm going to be smelling that hot chocolate right in my face every day. So I'm sure eventually I'm going to comment on it and ask, you know, I mean, what exactly is
what's
it about?
Happening?
Yeah. And I'm sure he'll probably recruit me onto Team Hot Chocolate. There's no chance that's happening. Again, as we talked about at the time, like if I try to drink hot chocolate in the morning, I mean, I'm just going to have a sugar crash and I'm going to be absolute mush. So I'm equally impressed with the creativity of it as his like physical endurance to be able to keep, you know, his energy and focus when he's imbibing all this sugar in the morning.
What can I set the odds at that you will bring in the first week, like a bag of marshmallows as a welcoming gift to Ritt? Is that like a...
It's a great idea.
A good idea.
He hates the marshmallows, I think, in his hot chocolate. I think he said that. I think you're setting me up. But it's still funny. It's still funny to do.
Right. Just lean into the fact that you're not judging him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe bring him like a bib, like he's some kind of child.
That's a bit extreme, but not bad. I don't hate it either. I think if I go to like a high end, like a candy maker, like a chocolatier kind of place and get some really nice, you know, like well-made marshmallows, I think maybe I could break through there.
You're going to go to a chocolatier.
Yeah, like an expert candy maker.
Chocolatier to get high end marshmallows.
Yes.
You in LA quick, bro. You left New York behind. You traded pizza for high end marshmallows. And I love that about you. I just watched Jerry Maguire, so I'll quit. And you're hanging on by a very thin marshmallow thread, Tom, and I dig that about you. All right, so Tom DeCelestino, not to be confused with you, Tom DeBenedetto.
How amazing is that?
And don't confuse Peter Bellotti for Marco Belletti. It's all happening. Tom DeCelestino is taking your spot. I'm very excited. What are like the top three tips you would give DeCel to having to deal with me in this show? Like where... They'll put you right on the spot.
Don't be shy about your, you know, NBA takes. They're phenomenal. And just
hi, Marco.
Be out with them as much as you possibly can to Bill. Just make sure everything you're thinking about the NBA is known at all times.
Share it.
Just absolutely share it all. Text it right to him immediately as you think about it.
If you're
that will
DeCel,
only help the show.
Yeah, and you think Trae Young's a bad shooter, you need to share that so we can get it on the air.
Yep. That's basically the number one priority.
That's a good
try one. To avoid doing what I'm doing right now and making yourself the bum of the week, like at all costs.
Right.
You know, understand that that's there at the end of the week every week. So,
it's
you know,
waiting.
Try not to trip on your way there.
Right. How many times have you been bum of the week? Two?
At least once.
Feels low.
Probably twice.
Feels low.
I've been nominated a couple more times. Yeah, that was the other. I've thought all of this through. That's why I knew it was coming today. And it should, you know. It's only fair.
I don't know. I mean, Playoff P is Pants has been very, very PG.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not a competitive category, but yeah.
And now that you're leaving, do you think, I actually am not, I'm usually pretty comfortable with my criticisms. I don't care. People get mad at me. Players are sensitive. They feel all the feel, whatever. Is Playoff P is Pants too far?
No.
You don't think it's too far?
I would have told you. I would have tried to get in the way of this somehow. Not that I could have stopped you, but I would have at least tried to put up some resistance. Now, I've only cheerleaded it because I think it's amazing. You can't call it. You can't, as Jim would say, you can't gloss yourself Playoff P and then perform the way he's performed. Then all bets are off, in my opinion.
He's so bad. And the box score doesn't tell that. He had a good game at times yesterday. You know, he's been excellent from the free throw line. He doesn't want the ball. The few moments that he shoots in big moments, he doesn't even come close.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page with this.
He's panicked constantly.
It doesn't feel like you're watching a max superstar when you're watching him in these games at all.
I mean, Dolores yesterday said some version of they have two superstars in theory. I think in theory, I mean, he's not, or maybe elite was the term. He's not elite.
And they're a weird pair, too, because as much of a superstar as Kawhi absolutely is, he also isn't that assertive.
Right.
So there are big stretches of the game where it feels like they don't have any superstars on that team, which is kind of, I think, part of the problem of why they're having trouble getting any playoff momentum the last two seasons.
Yeah, when Reggie Jackson's your best shooter, something is terribly wrong.
Not great. Last tip for Tom, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You can go more, by the way.
Now that the pandemic is, you know, coming to a somewhat end better place where getting vaccinated, travels opening up, whatever, get some trips expensed out to Los Angeles to work, quote unquote.
If D-Cell's listening,
the best perk here.
And if he's not listening, it's not a good start to his tenure as the producer, right? How many Jim Rome shows have you listened to in the last 2 months?
Every single one. Every single one.
And old ones.
And the podcast, both of his podcasts.
Should I start off being mean? I think he's great. I'm going to be mean. D-Cell, send me a text. Just a confirmation you're listening. You got the number.
The old radio pop quiz.
Welcome to the show, or you'll be nominated for Bum of the Week before you even start. The thing about D-Cell coming out is he's got a little one on the way, which is incredibly exciting.
And congrats.
So D-Cell, who's clearly listening right now, is thinking, he's under the impression that it can't come out, like a little one. What he's going to learn about 4 weeks in is there's nothing better on the face of the earth than being a father, especially for the first time. There really isn't. It's the highlight of one's life, at least for me. But you're also going to enjoy a little bit of time away, like 2 months in, just a little, like a little 5 day, get some sleep, because he'll come out here and he'll just sleep the rest of the time. Because sleep is going away.
Yeah.
So D-Cell, I'm looking forward to your text. It hasn't arrived yet. Maybe there's a delay. Maybe he's listening on the stream, the Odyssey app. It can be delayed. Marco Belletti, do you have any, Belletti. See, I did it right. And then I just like.
You doubted yourself.
DiCelestino, DiBenedetto, Belotti, Belletti, Maletti, Coletti.
What's crazy pants.
What is going on with this name thing? Have they hired like Phil Biter yet to do weekends?
You know, and the funny part too is that D-Cell, D-Ben, and I all started on the weekend overnights together when we launched this network.
That's right.
So that the connection like continues.
That sounds like a fun shift time-wise.
It was a bit of a grind.
What time is that?
It's great, Bill, especially when you got little kids and they're small and you're not sleeping as it is. You want to work the overnight on the weekends. That's the goal. That's the goal.
There's nothing like your children calling you, who's this guy? That's always a good sign.
You know what's better than that, though, Bill, is when you, before you leave for work, you get the, Daddy, please don't go. Oh, that's tremendous. You love that as you're walking out the door to go to work and they're in bed.
Right.
The don't go. That's tremendous.
Did you ever get to the, Daddy, do you love us? I did. Oh, yeah. Yes. But I now hate myself. Thank you for asking me that question. Oh, boy. All right. So, Marco, big news here. Our guy, Tom Benedetto, going to work on the Jim Rome show. That's the biggest news of the day. But I'm assuming there's some other news just below that in level of importance.
Definitely below it, but we do have a couple of things, and we're sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. It's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Now, the Clippers, they clawed their way all the way back from 21 down. They took a 101-99 lead, and then Utah able to answer.
Ingles, wide open, right side, three, tickles the twine. They left Joe Ingles. open. He hits the three, and you cannot hear me.
The three capped a 14-2 run. Jazz finished the Clippers 117-111. David locked the call, Jazz Radio Network. Ingles had 19. Donovan Mitchell, of course, led the way. He had 37. Rudy Gobert, 13 and 20 boards. Utah holding home court. They take a 2-0 series lead. Bucks, they squandered a 21-point advantage. Nets were up 3, 123 left. But Drew Holiday connected on a driving layup, 11.4 left, and it left us this disjointed possession by the Nets, down 1.
Holding, bouncing into Brown. Eluded him. Irving runs it down on the near side. Surrounded. Back it out. Brown. 7 seconds to go. A driving layup. It won't go. Bucks get the rebound. And they get to Giannis and they foul him with 2.8 seconds to go.
Now the Nets would have one more chance, but Kevin Durant's three at the buzzer was no good. The Bucks withstand the Nets 86-83. That's Chris Carino with the call on the Nets Radio Network. Durant finished with 30. Wasn't all that great from the field. No one was. The Nets shot 36%. Durant was 11 of 28. Brooklyn was 25% from three. Chris Middleton, 35. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 33. Bucks sliced into that Nets series lead, 2-1. Stanley Cup playoffs. You got the Golden Knights bidding farewell to the Avalanche 6-3 behind 30 saves from Marc-Andre Fleury. So the Golden Knights, they get Montreal now in the Stanley Cup semifinals. Some college football news. Management committee is said to consider an expansion from the 14 playoff to 12 teams when they meet next week. Under this, the top four teams, which would all be conference winners, would get a bye, and then think 5 through 12, kind of like March Madness, would go from there, but wouldn't go into effect until at least 2023. But from what it sounds like, all reports are, this is probably going to go through. We had plenty of baseball, including Aroldis Chapman just coughing it up.
Dan the pitch, a swing and a fly ball. Left center field and deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes. Twins win. Twins win. The Minnesota Twins win it.
By the final of 7-5, Corey Provis with the call, Twins Radio Network. The line for Chapman, 4 runs, 4 hits. A pair of two-run homers. Josh Donaldson had tied it with a two-run blast. Chapman failed to record an out, and he did it all on 9 pitches. Meanwhile, the Phillies scored 3 times in the 10th. They outlasted the Braves 4-3. Zach Wheeler, 8 scoreless in that one. He struck out 12. Red Sox outslugged the Astros 12-8. J.D. Martinez is 13th. And we got semifinal action going on now at the French Open. Stefanos Tsitsipas is up a couple of sets already on Alexander Zverev. And then coming up, you got the top seed Novak Djokovic taking on Rafael Nadal. That's said to go on roughly about an hour from now. Bill?
Marco, to quote your children, don't go. Please. Don't leave.
You know, that would be nice if you didn't have like an hour ride to get to work and then have to be there for like 9 hours and then come home. Like, you know, that would be nice to hear. Hey, look, they love me. No, not when you're getting in the car to do it overnight. It's the last thing you want to hear. It's almost like, can I drive the car off the road at this point?
Oh, no. Stay with us. All right. I have a question for you. A random question that I'm sure you've never been asked, but I'm very interested. I'm genuinely curious. How many times as a kid did you play Marco Polo? Like, were you always Marco and Marco Polo in the pool, like on family vacations?
Luckily, never. There was no family vacations, no pool. I don't know how to swim, and no, I would have never played.
All right, so here's, dude, that last part's wrong. When I come to New York, we're finding a pool that's 4 foot, and we're playing Marco Polo with Marco Belletti. It's my new goal. I can't wait. Marco!
Not a chance. You can come over, Belletti. We can have a barbecue. No chance.
All right. We'll have a barbecue, we'll drink some beer, and we'll just see what happens. Things can happen. We might move to the whiskey and things will happen. See you in an hour, buddy. Marco Belletti on the show. I want to get into Donovan Mitchell and the unique excellence that he is showcasing so far in the series next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Can't believe I called myself Jay Cutler. What is up? Happy Friday, Bill Ryder with you. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate you. Also, great song. Sam Rubinoff crushing the music, filling in, helping us out on the board in New York City. The executive producer, Tom DiBenedetto's last day. He is joining the Jim Rome Show, which is awesome. Awesome for Tom. Really excited for him. Have not heard from new producer Tom DeCelestino yet. He's probably doing his actual job rather than listening to this show, which I understand. This week's Smart Decision is brought to you by NHTSA. The Jazz beat the Clippers again last night, but let's head back to game one for the smart decision. When Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert made a huge block on the final possession to seal the victory, Gobert had to make a quick rotation to a wide-open Marcus Morris in the corner, who ultimately had his first attempt blocked and couldn't get a second shot up before the buzzer. Defensive Player of the Year, literally winning the game for the Jazz at the end. This week's Smart Decision was brought to you by NHTSA. A child in a hot vehicle can lead to their death very quickly. If you see a child left unattended, call 911. If the child looks unresponsive, do what it takes to get him or her out safely. Paid for by NHTSA. And great story 10 years ago now in the Washington Post about this that really walked people through how this happens, why it happens. Incredible insight into that kind of tragedy. And so just to repeat what NHTSA is telling you, if you see a situation like that, there is no action that is too severe to, and you can't act quickly enough. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I was looking at NBA futures this morning, and I have an admission to make. I'm feel bad about it. I really thought Brooklyn was going to win that game last night. I certainly thought it was going to be close. Line was 3.5, and so I bet on Brooklyn, which I haven't done most of the year, which is dumb. I just don't like them. I don't like rooting for teams I don't want to root for, but it was nice to win. And I was looking at some values in terms of NBA champions right now. The Nets are still the favorite. Utah is the second favorite at plus 250. Phoenix is plus 550, which I just think is some really good value, and I'm thinking about doing that. And then you've got, I think, next is Philly at plus 800. So only 8-1. That's how sure Vegas is that the Nets are coming out of the East. And the reason I think it's not the worst bet in the world is because, well, a couple things. One, I think the likelihood that one of those four teams are going to have one of their top two players get injured is 100%, which I hate to say out loud, but it just feels like that's the year that we're in. I'm worried about Joel Embiid's health for obvious reasons. I'm worried about Donovan Mitchell after we saw him limping around and being angry yesterday. I always worry about Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving's durability throughout a postseason. But that does create, unfortunately, some value if you pick the team that you think has the best chance of being healthy. Chris Paul's shoulder. I think the Suns are probably the team that I would bet on in that respect. And let's say you bet on the Suns at plus 550. It gives you the opportunity. You have to figure at least in the two home games, like let's say in a theoretical Suns-Nets finals, in at least two of those games, the Suns are going to be the favorite, which means you could bet on the Suns to in those individual games to just offset a little bit and maybe hit a middle, right? There's a situation where Brooklyn could win, but win within the margin, so you're still on track to get it done. And really, I guess you could bet on the other direction. You could bet on Brooklyn. They'll be the favorite a bunch. And maybe, you know, maybe Phoenix covers in those games and then is able to win some other ones. But I got to figure out where I'm going to go. And 855-212-4CBS if you have some betting advice. Because Utah plus 250 is not enough value. I'm worried about Donovan Mitchell's injury history this season. But, man, they are so freaking good. Think about this. They've gotten Quinn Snyder, I think, a great coach. And he didn't make the final three for Coach of the Year on my particular ballot. But a great coach. They have in Donovan Mitchell, he scored 37 last night. Most of those points were, I think 26 of them were in the first half, really took over the first half. Someone that I would argue is playing the best basketball of anyone in this postseason. Better than Kevin Durant after last night's game, better than Trae Young, who's been instrumental in Atlanta doing what they're doing, even better than Joel Embiid. I think Mitchell's been the best player so far in the playoffs. You have, and we just talked about this, and Rudy Gobert, literally the best defender in the association. Just one defensive player of the year who just saved or at least prevented the opportunity for a Clippers win with a block in game one. And was awesome yesterday defensively if you watched the game. You have, I think, maybe the deepest team. I think Phoenix is really deep too. Maybe the deepest team in the NBA. I mean, Bogdanovich has been awesome all year. And what you saw yesterday when he guarded Kawhi is the guy is a two-way player. He reminds me of a poor man's Klay Thompson, appreciated somewhat for his offense, but undervalued for how good he is defensively and critical to his team in all the little things. Sets picks, great passer, great vision, obviously can shoot, can play defense. I mean, Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson, number one and number two and sixth man of the year, literally the definition of depth. Royce O'Neal, who's a great story, does all the things you want a guy to do, is a really good defender, and by the way, hit 1-3, but it was a big one in that fourth quarter. This is a really good team. And Donovan Mitchell is really the straw that stirs the drink. And maybe I'm nostalgic about Kobe because I live in L.A. and covered his passing from Los Angeles. And maybe I gravitate to Dwayne Wade comparisons because I covered Dwayne in Miami his first year he played with LeBron. And because he's a part owner of the Suns now, and I keep seeing him on the sideline. But man, oh man, oh man, Donovan Mitchell to me looks like a cross between Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant. In the way that he plays, in the way that he's built. And by the way, Dwayne Wade, partial owner of the Utah Jazz, not the Phoenix Suns. In the way that he plays, in that closer instinct, and in his ability not to give up when he goes a little bit cold. Like, he's willing to keep shooting and take ridiculous shots, and he's able, like both of those guys, not just to hit shots, but to get to the glass, get to the rim, and use his body. And he's undersized compared to the guys that guard him. He's so effective that you're going to see every single defender, particularly Kawhi Leonard, thrown onto him, and he just finds a way to use his body, especially when he gets to the right, and his ability to bank his shots in, to use a floater. I mean, you'd think he was, you know, think he's Bruce Brown over here with the amount of times he uses the floater. The guy is legitimately a superstar. And the way that he's playing, and if you go back and you look at the way he's played and hit the playoffs in his career, it's been out of this world. I saw a stat yesterday on the broadcast, and I don't know if I believe it because ESPN, their coverage is not nearly as good as TNT's, if I'm just being honest with you. But the stat that they threw out there is that that team, the Utah Jazz, when Donovan Mitchell plays, they said he's 28-1 in the playoffs at home. Doesn't feel like that's right. Feels like the stat's wrong. I wrote it down yesterday because I was so stunned by it. Donovan Mitchell's a closer. He is that rare level of excellence in that he can get it done, and he does. He infuses his guys with confidence. There's for me, a really telling moment at the end of the game where Donovan Mitchell, they needed a shot. I think the Clippers had cut it to 5. There was less than 2 minutes left. There was momentum shifting. Utah had trouble scoring. There were some easy buckets that had come for the Clippers. 2 possessions earlier, Kawhi just gone straight to the rack. It just felt like things were getting out of hand. And the ball came up. Joe Ingles on the right side. Donovan Mitchell clapped really hard, like, give me the ball now. Like, I want the ball. And Ingles ignored him, which I thought was crazy and interesting, and dribbled to the right side. But the defender between them, seeing how much Donovan Mitchell insisted on the ball, kind of half-moved toward Mitchell, which freed some space for Ingles. And Ingles put the shot up, and the cameraman cut away from Mitchell. And as the ball went up, I thought, man, that's ballsy to just ignore Donovan Mitchell through the middle of the hoop. Boom, game over, basically. And I was curious, like, how did Donovan Mitchell respond, right? I mean, obviously gives him a high five afterwards. They came back from a commercial break, and they showed the widescreen from the back of the basket. And what they showed is Donovan Mitchell really wanted that ball, even more than I had seen. And the moment Ingles started to shoot, Mitchell put both his arms up like, it's in. And Ingles can't see that. But if you look, some of his teammates can see that. And that's the level of teamwork and support and how you infuse confidence, right? I want the ball. Give me the ball. Don't shoot it. You've shot it. I believe in you. It's going in. It went in. And it was one of those moments where I realized they have the chemistry that is necessary, and it's legit, and it's absolutely going to work. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Let's talk some baseball. Jerry Hairston Jr., longtime major leaguer, going to join me next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
We've talked a lot of baseball this week, and some of it good, some of it not so good. And For me, one of the best people doing broadcasting and media on the majors is Jerry Hairston Jr. Did a broadcast yesterday on YouTube where he was very, very pleased to, as I am with my friends, to point out that he was in L.A. where the weather was great. Did an amazing job, and he graciously makes some time. Now, Jerry, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Bill? How you doing?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. How was the YouTube broadcasting experience?
YouTube was a lot of fun. I got a chance to do the game with Sean Casey, Scott Braun, and John Morosi. Had a blast, especially because the Dodgers won, and I was in sunny L.A.
That is the way to do it. Jerry Hairston Jr. on the show. Jerry, let's get the sticky RPM stuff out of the way. To what degree, for you, a guy that played in the big leagues for a long time, do you think this is or is not a real problem for Major League Baseball?
I think if you'd asked me this, Bill, probably about a month ago, I would have said it wasn't a real problem because as a hitter, as a former hitter, I always wanted pitchers to have, you know, a little bit of rosin, a little bit of pine tar, just so they can get a good grip on the ball. And that way, it'll move normal. Now, what I'm hearing, they're adding that sticky stuff, super glue, and other substances to this ball and making it, like, ultimate sticky, super sticky. And it's really ramping up that spin rate, and it's making the ball do, like, crazy things. So I'm going to trust today's players and today's hitters. If they say it's going on, then it's probably going on. So I'm glad that Major League Baseball is at least looking into it.
Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show. And Jerry, is the reason when you were playing you'd want some substance that didn't go too far, is that just protection? You don't want a guy accidentally throwing the ball at your temple?
Yeah, absolutely. It is for protection. You know, those guys, you know, were playing, even when I played, they're throwing 9,800 miles an hour. You don't want that ball to get away from him. You get hit in the head. But also, sometimes if they use slick stuff that I've played too, I played third base, shortstop, some balls come out of the bag, out of the box, and they're a little slippery, you know. So you want to have a grip on the baseball. So, you know, I don't want a ball that's slick. And that ball, if you remember Phil Negro, Gaylord Perry, they put some stuff that would make the ball even extra slick, and it would do funny things, almost like a knuckleball. You know, a knuckleball, it dances on you, and you don't know where it's going to go, and that's the same effect of a spitter or a ball that has some slick stuff on it. So you don't want that coming at you at the plate. So that's why you always wanted pitchers to have a grip on the baseball.
Jerry, we talk a lot about guys policing the game themselves, and at least from my vantage point, I'm not sure how much baseball has allowed that over the last several years in a lot of ways. Within a clubhouse, right, to what degree do the position players know or not know what the pitchers are doing with whatever substances they're using across Major League Baseball?
I think especially the infielders and the catchers know what's going on, because when you're throwing the ball around the diamond, especially after a strikeout, you know what's up. Obviously, the catcher knows what's going on. But again, like when I played, sure, there's guys that use certain things to make the ball a little sticky just to make sure they got a better grip. And again, Bill, you want that as a player. I wanted a grip on the baseball. If I got a ball at shortstop, if those balls are really slick, you know, I wanted to use a little bit of pine tar or rosin just to make sure I got a good grip on the ball to throw to first base. So again, you know, now that they're using other foreign substances, you know, this is the time now to kind of check and make sure they're not using anything crazy out there to make that ball do crazy things. So, again, if it's pine tar, a little bit of rosin, there's nothing wrong with that.
Would it be Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the program? I'm Bill Ryder. This is Ryder Than You, CBS Sports Radio. Jerry, obviously rosin's more than allowed. I mean, there's a rosin bag behind every mound in Major League Baseball. Would it be crazy to just have some substance that's approved or substances that are approved and just – let these guys have it in their pocket, right? So that you've got whatever is necessary to keep the game safe for guys in the batter's box, enough traction on the ball that you don't have these problems, but not whatever crazy things make balls move like it's RBI baseball.
Yeah, and I think, Bill, I think that's where we're headed. I think they're going to have a universal rosin bag or mix behind the mound. Maybe in the dugout where the umpires will see before the game, this is the guys are allowed to use. And position players use it. You know, I used it. I used a little bit of pine tar, a little bit of rosin, just to make sure I got a grip on the baseball. I sometimes put it on my glove because if it's raining a little bit or if it's really humid. And remember, I played in Baltimore and in New York on the East Coast. Sometimes it'd be so humid that, you know, my fingers get a little moist, and I wanted to make sure I had a decent grip on the baseball. So, again, if they have a universal rosin bag, so to speak, there is nothing wrong with that. And I think that's where they're headed with this.
Jerry, who's the best team in baseball right now?
Okay, wow, Bill, this is tough. I mean, one week is one team, and the next day it's another team. 2 days later it's the White Sox. You know, I mean, it's really hard right now. There isn't a team really that's running away with anything as far as being the best team of baseball. I think we're going to find out probably sometime after the All-Star break. You know, in my opinion, the Dodgers, even though they're not playing the best baseball right now, they've had a lot of injuries. I still think they'll be the best team in baseball when it's all said and done. But there's some good teams out there. The Giants have played good baseball. The Padres are going to be right there. And the White Sox have done a great job in Chicago. I know Tony's done a good job. That team is fun to watch. So there's some good teams out there, and nobody's running away with it right now. But, you know, I think that's a good thing. That means a lot of teams are in it.
Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show. Jerry, there's obviously a long season in front of us still, but if the season ended now, I'm pretty sure there would be three teams from the NL West that would be in the postseason. You'd have whoever wins the division. The Giants are atop right now. And then in this sort of, you know, if the season ended today, it'd be Dodgers, Padres in a blood battle, in a UFC cage match fight for moving on. How realistic do you think it is for those of us on the West Coast that watch a lot of Giants and Dodgers and Padres games and know how good these teams are, that it could be three NL West teams in the postseason?
I think it's very realistic. Now, all three in the West are really good teams. I think the Giants, out of the three, can't afford to have major injuries because they're not as deep as the Dodgers or the Padres. You know, they've done a great job of staying healthy for the most part. They have really good starting pitching. And anytime you have starting pitching and gives your team a chance to win, you obviously have to look at that type of team. And they swing the bat, too. I know Buster Posey's really had a resurgence after not playing last year. Longo's having a really good season, Crawford as well. So they're doing a pretty good job in San Francisco. The Padres are there. They got great starting pitching. They got firepower in their offense. And again, the Dodgers, I really thought, you know, if you're the Padres or the Giants, you would have liked to have had a big lead on the Dodgers now because you know the Dodgers were just crushed with injuries. You know, Corey Seager's still out. Cody Bellinger was off 2 months. Mookie Betts was banged up with the back and the shoulder early on in the season. You start to see him start to get healthy. I really thought they would have pulled away, maybe have a 5-7 game lead on the Dodgers. The Dodgers are right there, man, and they're starting to get healthy. So they're going to get Corey Seager back in a couple weeks, and now you're seeing them start to get healthy. And you can see in the second half, once they're healthy, they should really put it on everybody else in the division and in the National League.
Yeah, Jerry, it seems inevitable that at some point, to your point, that the Dodgers are going to win 9 in a row or 14 of 17 or whatever the run is, right? They seem built and destined to do that. I can't get my mind around what I think about the New York Yankees. Do you think it's inevitable they're going to have a similar run and we're going to wake up in July or August and they're just where they're supposed to be atop that division, or is that less certain for you?
I think it's less certain because they're a team that strikes out an awful lot. Yes, they have a lot of talent. And again, they've been hurt with injuries the last couple of years as well. I know Aaron Hicks is out for the year. They're starting pitching. You know, I thought it'd be a little bit better. You know, they had a run where they pitched pretty well and then won some ball games. But, you know, I saw a stat where they've, I think, up until this point has made the most outs on the bases. You know, usually you want your teams to be heads-up base runners as far as making sure you go to first to third, a score on a double if you're running on first base, and not make a whole lot of outs. So they're a slug team. They need to hit a lot of home runs, which they haven't yet. But if they swing the bat the way they're capable of, they should win a lot of ball games. But, again, the Yankees, you know, they have to stay healthy, and they have to swing the bat, and they haven't really done that up until this point.
Jerry Harrison Jr. here on the show, World Series champion. Jerry, I got a buddy who works for the Lakers and got – you know, like you tend to, he got a championship ring. And we went out and we had dinner at a dive bar like 3 weeks ago. We both got vaccinated. And I, you know, we're just hanging out. And I look down and he's wearing this ring. It's a Laker. And it's obviously worth some money, right? And he's single. So I get it. I get it on every level. But I wanted to ask you this the next time you were on. When's the last time you wore your championship ring?
I occasionally wear it on air during the playoffs. When the Dodgers are in the playoffs, I'll wear the ring. But I don't just wear it out and about. I just don't do that. I will be getting my L.A. Dodgers World Series ring, I think, in a couple weeks. But I'm not going to be wearing it around. I'll make sure I keep it in my safe deposit box. And then when we get to the playoffs again, I'll wear it on air. Those are the only times I wear it.
So if I can get you to Simsy's for a beer, I'm not going to look down and see one of your two World Series rings just like bling bling on your finger.
Nah, I'm not that kind of guy. I just don't do that.
I don't think my buddy should be either. And now I can send him this clip. Jerry,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. There's guys that do it. Those guys can do it. I don't mind guys doing it. For me, I'm not that guy. Especially the Dodgers, you know, they were very gracious to give us World Series rings. I wasn't on the team. I didn't score a run. I didn't get a hit or contribute as a player. But, you know, they're very nice to give everybody that worked for the Dodgers a World Series ring. And I tell you what, it's a first-class organization. I'm going to wear it proudly. But really, I'm going to thank the players that really worked hard. And every time if I wear it and people ask me, I'm going to talk about Clayton Kershaw, Kevin Jansen, Justin Turner, Kike, Jack Peterson, all those guys that worked their butt off to win that World Series ring. And it's them and seeing them happy. That's what it's about. It's the experience, man. And those guys earned it. And I'm just so proud to be a part of that organization. But the players, the ones that want it.
Jerry, I would just be worried, right? There's knuckleheads in the world. And in my experience, knuckleheads sometimes go to bars and drink too much. I would just be worried some knucklehead looking down. And in my friend's case, he was passing it around, which is fine. Like, I love him. He's a great guy. It's totally his business. I would just be worried that some knucklehead would decide, that's a cool championship ring. I would like to take it now.
Yeah, well, Bill, you followed me on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
You see me box, right? There's a reason why I box, man. Just in case. Just in case.
Dude, I wouldn't box you for all. Are you still drinking that spinach? What is in that thing? Kale?
Kale,
almond,
spinach,
butter,
avocado, almond milk. Oh, yeah, peanut butter.
Almond milk.
Blueberries. Make sure you have all that stuff in there because you got to stay young. You got to stay vibrant. So I make sure I drink my shakes every once in a while.
Dude, I make that for myself. And my daughter is convinced that it's just like a chocolate smoothie. I haven't had the heart to tell her what's in it. So she drinks it all the time. She has no idea.
It's good, man. It's good.
We call it the Hairston. We call the Hairston Jr. the Rider House. That's a true story.
Love it.
Jerry Hairston Jr. on the show. All right, last one for you. You played in the majors for a long time, including for the Chicago Cubs. You're from, like I am, the suburbs of Chicago. You're from Naperville. You played high school baseball there where you dominated Cole Wright, regardless of what he's ever said or not said on the airwaves. So maybe you can give me some insight into this Cubs team. Maybe it's the fandom in me, Jerry, that I just had when Theo left, with the drama with Chris Bryant, with the direction it felt like the pitching staff was going, I did not anticipate the Cubs being even remotely competitive this year. They are. I mean, at least so far, they've played well. What do you make of these guys?
They have played very well, and it really goes to the leadership in that clubhouse. Dave Ross has done an incredible job with that ball club. I really thought this year was kind of a press the reset button year. See what you got, and then next year they'd maybe add a piece or two and then try to make a run. But they're playing really good baseball, man. Jock Peterson's infused some energy in that ball club. We know what he's about. He's a high-energy guy, hit some home runs. Chris Bryant has a resurgence. He talked about no longer having a launch-angle swing. He changed the swing. Now he's squaring the baseballs up. He's doing a pretty good job. And, you know, again, it goes to the leadership of that ball club. Rizzo has done a great job leading that team. They're a fun team to watch, and they've got pretty good pitching too. So anytime you get good pitching and you got guys that have won before and know how to win ball games, you're gonna win ball games. So it's good to see the Cubs and the White Sox play well, and hopefully they continue.
How's that golf game, Jerry? Where's that handicap at?
It's pretty good. I haven't played a whole lot. My son here is with me for the summer. He's a good young baseball player, so I'm training him mostly. But I'll sneak out and play some golf. I played Pelican. I think I shot it. I think an 80 or 81 last week.
Wow.
So
you're playing from the tips too?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course you are. Wow. What do you mean, of course? Some of us play a little closer and drink a lot, Jerry. That's what we do in golf. I gotta get you out one of these days. I gotta go golf with you one of these days. You give me some tips. I need
okay,
to work
let's do it. I got a course up in Valencia. Let's play.
All right, dude, I'm totally in. I'll text you. Jerry, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for the insight, man.
Anytime, Bill.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum.
All he's doing is a whole lot of damn nothing.
I'm a bum.
You rotten bum!
I'm a bum.
You're a bunch of bums.
I'm a bum. I'm a bum. I'm a bum.
Who's the bum this week? Let's find out on Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, as you know, Tom is nominated for having the temerity, the gall, the chutzpah to dare go work for the most important radio show in America. Kind of a selfish jerk does that.
It's not great.
No, it is great. I'm happy for you. I'm nominated because, like a real idiot, I believed ESPN or misheard that Donovan Mitchell was 28-1 at home. As I think about it, that would be, I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure that means you have won a whole lot of series. Like 6.5 of them. He's an NBA champion. I just missed it. Nice work by Sam Rubinoff on the board, catching that he's 10-4 at home. Only ESPN employed Sam, like they should. He doesn't want to work there, though. Every single fan, and if you're listening, this includes you, even though I love you and appreciate you listening to the show, who voted for Derrick Rose for MVP. And whatever genius Mensa candidate, by the way, at the NBA, thought that the fans should be allowed to have any say whatsoever in the MVP voting. I mean, come on, man. Get out of here. Stop it. Because fans is not like the good fans or the fans who pay attention. It's not a shock. It's Derrick Rose. New York's the biggest market in the country. That's just a who is the favorite player of the Knicks vote. LA people are too cool to vote. I'm not going to vote. My friends will judge me. It's anonymous. It's too cool to do that. I got to go get some milk a block away and drive my car. That's one thing, Tom, you're gonna realize. People don't walk anywhere.
Anywhere. It's a massive adjustment.
My first time in Manhattan Beach, right? Lived in Manhattan Beach, moved to Brooklyn, moved back to Manhattan Beach. First time I lived in what's called the tree section. Nice little residential area. Maybe half a mile from like the main area, the tennis courts, the downtown. Three quarters. I would walk all the time. And people would just stare at me. People I knew would be like, was everything okay? I saw you walking through the neighborhood. Did you lose an animal? Yeah. No, I was walking.
Did your car break down?
Yeah. Like, no, I'm walking.
Did it explode?
What is wrong? It's not like I came from New York. I came from Kansas City.
Yeah.
In a walking part of Kansas City. I mean, come on.
Even right now, I'm holed up in Hollywood, which is like, and right around the corner from Hollywood Boulevard, one of the most walkable parts of LA, and it still feels weird to go out on foot. It's just not what's done.
It's not what's done. You can do it, though. You can break the mold. Garrett Cole is nominated. I can't answer that question. I actually sort of respect that he didn't lie, but obviously he didn't lie because he's using stuff he shouldn't be. But the winner is a man on this show who we jokingly said wore adult diapers. Not knowing that that was a joke that was just leading us to the truth. Playoff P, his pants, some big moments. Might put up numbers occasionally, but he is a frantic and overwhelmed so-called superstar. Don't give me his 27 points or even his 8 of 18 because he hit a 3 at the end when the game was basically out of hand. He was 7 of, what, 17? That guy's role, that guy's responsibility as one of the superstars is to calm things when it gets rickety, to be a steady hand, to have ice in his veins. And he doesn't. He looks overmatched in the moment. And that kind of difficulty in big situations, that choke gene, that reality that we've all faced in our lives in certain things, we have, that sometimes you're not up for the moment, and for that to be true of him in the moments that define his career, that sucks. And I don't want to celebrate that in some. I don't want to make fun of someone. I don't. But if you're going to name yourself Playoff P, I'm right. If you are my friend or my colleague and you name yourself Romeo, and then it turns out you can't talk to women, I'm not judging you because you can't talk to women. I'm judging you because you walked around the office like some kind of would-be Lazario and tried to. I mean, you set the stage. So Playoff P, you know what? For your inability to even remotely handle the moments and the spotlight you brought down on yourself with your silly nickname. The bum of the week, bro.
That's your bum of the week.
I detest you!
On Writer Than You.
I'm going to make you bum of the week for going to the Jim Rome show.
You. Ooh, that was a close call.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I couldn't be more happy for it. Now, if you're like, hey, I don't really want to produce the show, but I was able to land a part-time job at the coffee shop that won't pay me, but will pay me in free coffee, and I would rather do that than be anywhere near you, it'd probably be a little different.
I'm leaving for a barista internship.
I'm a barista intern. That is Tom DeBena barista dough. It is very, very exciting. And what a great crew, man. Hawk, Rit, the king of the chocolate wars, Alvin are incredible guys. I've been so lucky to be Dave Whalen, to be able to fill in and do the TV show back in the day too. And I'm not going to pretend I know Jim super well, but he's been so good to me. I think I can make the statement, great guy. I'm really, really excited. I think it is awesome news. Do you want to do some picks?
Sure, yeah.
I actually jumped on Atlanta plus one today. I think Atlanta's going to beat Philly, and I think they're going to potentially beat them. They could beat it by three or four, but I think they're winning the game.
This is a tough one, huh? I mean,
it's really a pick 'em,
this
right?
is a really tough one. Yeah, it's what, Philadelphia minus one as right. of right this second.
Right.
Games in Atlanta, which I do think will matter. In fact, if anything, the Nets game just reminded us all last night that the home road thing does matter. In the bubble, it almost didn't matter at all. In the way that the first round started, road teams were constantly winning, including that crazy Mavericks Clippers series where the road team was winning every game. But the reality is, it is significant for role players. That's a big deal for the Sixers. They need their role players, and they need Embiid to keep at this like nearly 40 point per game level on a partially torn meniscus. Which,
and that's the thing,
at some
man.
Point that's gotta yeah. yeah. That's,
I just
so well, I'm
let
with
me,
you.
Let me jump in on the Embiid thing. Like, I don't want him to get hurt. Don't get me wrong. I,
of course,
he's one of my three or four favorite players in the NBA, and I'd love to see Philly win the whole thing. And I think healthy they could thwart the Nets, which I want. But you have to factor in that meniscus. You just do,
yeah.
as it relates, if you're going to put money on games, and it's not a huge hedge, but I think it's 10%. Like, I think there is a real chance that he gets hurt.
And I also think the Simmons factor, I keep bringing this up, but like, you know, this dude is an amazing defensive player. And as you showed in game two, he's an incredible transition passer. I'm not taking either of those things away, but I think he took about four shots in game two. He scored like 7 points, and he can do that much more easily at home when the role players are more comfortable. Now they're going to need crunch time scoring in the half court in this game to win this game. They're going to need more from Ben Simmons, and he has not shown it. He has not shown that he's capable or has the confidence to even attempt it. So I'm with you. I would probably pick the Hawks. And you get a point. I wish you could get a couple more points, but at least you get a point to pick the Hawks tonight.
Yeah, I just think Ben Simmons on Trae Young is for me the one X factor. That was a great switch. It was very effective. Simmons is a remarkable defender on the perimeter, and the guy is 6'10" and has a wingspan that is terrifying, especially if you're Trae Young, right? He's not Steph Curry, but if it were Steph Curry, someone whose athleticism is not to be underestimated, but it's not, they're not LeBron James. You know, they're not Kobe Bryant.
No.
Whoever you want to insert there. Trae Young was 1 of 7 in the 3-point line, largely, I think, as a result in the last game. I think they're going to adjust. I think there's going to be more open looks for other guys if that's what they do. I think those guys are going to hit more of those shots because they're at home.
Exactly.
Then I think it's going to free up Trae. And I think Trae Young is going to, either by finding a way to switch off or by just playing downhill and getting to the free throw line, I think he's going to have a more effective game. And I don't think it takes a lot for Atlanta to be. Atlanta also got down early in that game, made a rousing comeback, and just ran out of energy. I don't think that's going to happen at home.
Yeah, right. And Tobias Harris started on an absurd hot streak that I don't think is going to happen either that helped Philly get that lead. So
yeah.
I think this could probably be a grind, actually. It wouldn't surprise me if it's pretty close.
I think it'll be close, too. I think Atlanta's going to win, but I have no money on Denver-Phoenix. Denver minus 1.5. No idea. I think Phoenix is going to win. I actually do, but I'm just, if you're going to win any game in a series, it's always the third game, right? It's always the third game. I really got down on Milwaukee that I bet on
exactly.
the Nets yesterday. So to me, you're down 2-0, you're at home, game three of a best of seven in the NBA. You either bet on the home team that's down 2-0 or you don't bet, unless you're really confident, which I'm not here.
I actually am, but lessons learned from last night. I mean, I was pretty confident that the Bucks were figured out and wouldn't be able to put out a good performance against the Nets, which you could argue that they didn't, but they did win the game. I think the Suns are severely outmanning Denver just for depth, just man-to-man up and down their rotation. Denver is in big trouble, and now they have the coach accusing them of effort issues, which is going to go one of two ways.
I think he knows how to pull those.
Yeah. I hope so.
I'm a part of it's like a belief in Michael Malone. And Jokic has to have one game where he plays great. You saw it from Giannis yesterday feeding off the crowd. I think Jokic has a huge game.
Yep. I wouldn't probably bet money on this game, and I can't imagine putting money against Phoenix, especially if you're getting a point and a half to pick them. But there's a reason why these spreads are so close tonight. These are both really tough calls. I would pick the Suns, but again, lessons learned from last night. We should see a much better Denver Nuggets team tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think what I might do at plus 550 is bet on Phoenix to win the whole thing, and then
I love that bet,
look for middles in each game, right? and hedge a little bit.
And you will be so furious with yourself if you don't bet the Suns to win the whole thing, and they do. I will be hearing about it for months, probably years.
Well, you won't have to as much because you'll be...
I still will. I know I still will.
Yeah, I'll be blowing your phone up. Yeah. All right, we'll do a little more goodbye before you exit stage right for the Jim Rome show, which is extremely exciting. But first, let's bring on Marco Belletti, who we found out last hour doesn't know how to swim, has never played Marco Polo, wants to have me over for a barbecue, but doesn't want the barbecue to lead to excessive drinking where we then play Marco Belletti. Marco Belletti. Amazing. Marco be amazing.
That's pretty good. You summed that up pretty perfectly right there. That was done. That's exceptional. Good job by you.
I want to do a segment like things, I don't know what to call it, but like things we don't know about Belletti, right? I'm sure there are many more. You know?
There's going to be stuff that, there's going to be stuff that you're going to go, wait, seriously? And then you're going to find out real quick the loser territory that I'm in, and you're going to go, we don't want to do this anymore.
It's
going to lose luster fast.
And B, I lean into those things. I mean, I worked with Ryan Hickey for a long time. Trace is great.
I'm not in Trace level. I can, eat food, adult food.
Have you seen films? Do you know two Tom Cruises?
Yes. I watch movies too. Yes.
You're not the guy that you bring into a fantasy league and you never manage your team, making you look bad. But then when you play me, then you decide to manage your team, are you? You're not that guy, are you?
No, I would be the guy that just doesn't play.
Got it. So you don't want to join. Okay. He doesn't even know this. I'm kicking him out of the baseball league next year because he doesn't manage his team. And you don't want to join.
Thank you. No. He's out. Fantasy's not my thing.
He's out. If Sam Rubinoff, I don't even know Sam. All I know about Sam is he's really good at his job. And he's a pro, but that's all. And he's invited. Like, he can replace Trace if he wants. That's all I know about Sam. He's good at his job. He's a smart dude. And I want him more than I want Ryan Hickey in this league. That's
you know what I'm in.
Sam's in! Sam's in!
That's a buy.
Oh, I love it. It is. All right, Marco, are you here Monday? Are you back Monday?
No, I'm not. I think you have Brad Heller on Monday.
Brad's great, but it's hard to play Finding Marco with Brad Heller. So we'll have to do it. We'll have to do it a different time. Dang it. What else is going on?
All right, Bill. Well, the Jazz with that 21-point lead, they squandered, able to respond, and of course they leaned on Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan across the state logo in the gradient colors. Works to the top. Jazz trying to get Kennard. They do. He drives at him in the lane, high off the glass and in. Donovan Mitchell. 115-108, 7-point lead.
That was part of 37 for Mitchell. Jazz able to withstand the Clippers, 117-111. They take a 2-0 series lead. It was David Locke to call Jazz Radio Network. Jazz used a big 14-2 run after the Clippers had taken a 101-99 lead, about 6.5 minutes left. They also got 24 off the bench from Jordan Clarkson. Rudy Gobert, 13 and 20 rebounds. The scene will now shift to L.A. for Game 3 Saturday night. Nets, they erased a 21-point deficit. They had a 3-point lead, 123 remaining in this. And the Bucks come back.
The Bucks will play for one. Holiday to the rim. Scores! 84-83 Bucks. 11.4 to play.
Jrue Holiday giving the Bucks the lead for keeps. They finish off the Nets 86-83. Ted Davis the call. Bucks Radio Network. This was an ugly game, but the Bucks will take it. 35 from Chris Middleton. 33 from Giannis Antetokounmpo. They pulled it within 2-1 in the series. Kevin Durant at 30. Also missed a game-tying three at the buzzer. Game 4 is in Milwaukee Sunday. On the ice, the Golden Knights eliminate the Avalanche in 6 by the final of 6-3. So you got Vegas now against Montreal. Stanley Cup semifinals. College football playoff could look very different very soon. Committee's going to meet in a proposal about a week from now to expand from 4 teams to 12. Top 4 conference winners would get byes. So if you're wondering about a team like Notre Dame, who is back to being an independent again this year, if you remember they were in the ACC last year, they could be the top-ranked team in the land, but the best they would do in this situation would be a 5 seed, even if it goes through. We won't have this, though, until likely at least 2023, possibly later. And again, they're going to vote on this. But it sounds like it's going to go through about a week from now. Now, plenty made in the offseason that Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle. There was talk about the 4 teams he wanted to go to. You remember the Raiders, the Saints, the Bears, the Cowboys. Obviously, nothing materialized. Wilson was at OTAs and gave his thoughts on this whole situation.
Well, obviously, I love Seattle. I love playing here. I've had a great career here so far. I've always wanted to play here for my whole career. Obviously, I think there were some, unfortunate frustrations after the season. Obviously, you want to win it all and do it all and do everything you can, And I think everybody on our team does. We all want to win it. And, I think unfortunately it got a little, a little bit blown out of proportion.
Now, some pretty impressive backpedaling there by Wilson. Obviously wants to stay in Seattle. So now that he stays with the Seahawks and they kiss and make up, we're going to see if that applies to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as well. Obviously stay tuned on that one. And we also got the French Open semifinals going on now. Stefanos Tsitsipas is up 2-1 on Alexander Zverev. And then coming up, you still got the top seed Novak Djokovic taking on Rafael Nadal. Bill?
Thank you, Marco Belletti. We will play Finding Marco. Where's Marco comes when I go back to the East Coast and go for the barbecue. Marco Belletti, great work as always. Let's do a final buy or sell with Tom DiBenedetto. His last show here on the program next on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, so today on As the Rodgers Turns, we have another former teammate weighing in. This time it's former wideout James Jones re-entering the fray with a bold prediction, telling Colin Cowherd yesterday, quote, he's willing to go in there and make sure he can get this thing right and get it fixable and go out there and put the best football team on the field and try to compete for a championship. And that's why I truly believe that he will be there for training camp. This will get fixed, and I think the relationship will get much better between him and the GM, end quote. Buy or sell, the Rodgers holdout will end before training camp opens on July 27th.
I'm almost sold. I'm going to sell it.
Sell.
I'm not there yet. But it was a really good interview. He also said there's two reasons that Rodgers is mad. One being that they've cut all the people that he likes, and that's been clear. But the other being a phone call that happened. And I think it was Ty Dunn who sort of broke down what the calls could be. And I'd forgotten this, that... Is it Mark Murphy, the guy that's the president that runs it, reportedly said to him, don't be the problem when they hire LaFleur without his input. I'd be mad. It actually was the first time I thought, maybe Rodgers isn't the diva here. Maybe he's just been, maybe they misread the room and he's like, all right, I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm going to respond the way that I can because you want to go there, we've gone there.
Yeah, they clearly misplayed a leverage situation here, big time, big time.
I know Mark Murphy's daughter, by the way, just randomly. She worked at FS1. Very nice, very nice person. Rides horses. So I know about it. Kind of want to text her and be like, tell your dad to get it together.
Please. So we can move on to another topic in the NFL.
Get in line.
It's been months. All right, let's keep on the quarterback topic and head to Arizona, where the Cardinals are making preparations for what they hope to be a breakthrough season for Kyler Murray. So where is the third-year quarterback's head at? Well, if you listen to what he said to the media yesterday, it's on the wrong sport as he once again discussed the baseball career he left behind, or did he? Quote, I know everyone around the organization probably feels different about it, but me personally, I played the game my whole life. If I ever had the opportunity, for sure, I would definitely go for it. What are we talking about? I'm sure anyone asking me about it would take that opportunity too. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm just talking. Buy or sell, you would classify these comments as a bad sign.
I'm going to buy it.
Buy.
Here's the thing. I'm married. You're going to be married at some point in the near future because you're engaged. There's a time for second thoughts. But what I didn't do at my honeymoon or my wedding or at dinner 3 months later, like, you know what? Sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't have just... Do I still pine for fill in the blank of a girl I dated? Yes. Do I dream about her? Sure. Do I have her number? I do. Did I see her last week? Maybe. Everything's fine. No, man, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. You made it. And even if that's how you feel, keep it to yourself,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly. Stop talking about it.
Keep
please.
It to yourself. We get it. You're in love with another sport. Go marry it or shut the hell up.
You're being forced to be a franchise NFL quarterback. Ugh.
It's been really hard.
Ugh.
The money. Hold on, my bodyguard's here. Oh, my chauffeur's here. All right, I gotta go. It's really difficult.
All right, let's talk about your boy Chris Paul. An interesting report from Eric Pincus in Bleacher Report yesterday suggests that Chris Paul may be intending to decline his $44 million player option to remain in Phoenix this coming offseason, instead looking to test the free agent market for presumably the last time in his storied career. The hope is that he'd be able to attract a new 3-year deal worth around $100 million instead, but SI's Chris Mannix noted in response that executives he's spoken with have Paul pegged in more of the 3 years, $60 million range. Buy or sell, Chris Paul should decline his option and test free agency this offseason.
I think there's more to see to answer it, but since I just put money on Phoenix to win the whole thing, literally just did it in the break, I'm going to sell. Sorry, Sam.
Sell.
Double negative here. He should not decline his option. If he's with the team where he can win a championship, $44 million a ton of money. I get it. I understand. Like, generational wealth. I totally understand. It's not my money. And maybe you can get $100 million. I guess the kind of argument is, why would you not test the market? But for me, if you've built something that's a championship contender and you're the key piece, come on, dude, stick around. Like, you have not been places where you've been the right leader. You finally found the right place. Don't jeopardize that. I understand it's not my money, but don't jeopardize that.
You think he'd be able to get more than 360, 3 years, $60 million on the open market, but from where is the question?
I don't
know.
You're
really going to leave Phoenix right now?
You're going to be 37, 38, and 39. I mean, the Lakers don't have the money, right? Like LeBron. I'd have to look who has a bunch of cap space, but I mean, maybe someone like the Knicks would overpay and try
That's
to move.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I you might get it. You also might be miserable.
It's just a better deal for him to stay for $44 million with a team that's a contender and then deal with after that.
You know? If it's 3 and 60, $44 million gets you more than two-thirds of the way there for one year.
Exactly, on a contender.
Yeah.
Dan Hicks of NBC Sports shared yesterday that Tiger Woods turned down NBC's offer to serve as a commentator on next week's U.S. Open at the gorgeous Torrey Pines here in Southern California. It's not really surprising considering all that Woods has been through the last few months, but it does create a very interesting possibility for the future, especially if Tiger can't recover physically enough to rejoin the tour. Even after his career ends, if it does resume, it's a fascinating idea to boost the interest in golf broadcasts he's not actually competing in. Buy or sell, Tiger Woods will ultimately end up a golf color commentator.
I would love it to happen, but I'm going to sell. And here's why.
Sell.
I think he is. He's a little socially awkward. That's okay. A little shy. That's fine. I just don't know, it's a comfort zone for him, and I'm not sure. I don't think he'd be great at it, really. I don't think he could be extraordinary because his insight is there. I don't know if Tiger has been hated on the golf course for his excellence and his standoffishness, and has won people over in the twilight of his career. He is beloved on the tour now. That wasn't true the early part of his career. Why jeopardize that the way you have to be good at that job? Like Charles Barkley. To me, that's not the thing. Tom, going to the Jim Rome Show. Congratulations.
So excited.
Awesome news. Welcome to L.A. L.A. is amazing.
Thank you. It's also very exciting.
You're going to love it. I should have given you five things you need to know about living in L.A., but I'll just say this. It's amazing. It is. It's my favorite place. It's my favorite place that I've lived.
And you've been giving me five things or 500 things I need to know about living in L.A. for a long time now.
I obnoxiously send you photos. You got to start sending the guys photos, like, especially in the wintertime.
I've already kind of started. I'm a little wary of totally becoming you.
No, do it.
But I'm going down that road.
Lean into it. It's so good. What do you mean weary being me? Get out of here.
I'm going to miss the show.
I'm going to miss you too, buddy. Great work by Tom Benedetto. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm Bill Ryder, and this is CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.